voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning on WICC 600.
Good morning, Dr. Brown. Thank you so much for being here. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Melissa?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much. Earlier this week, there was a very important person, Scott Gottlieb, who made an announcement nationally that I just kind of thought, whoa, okay, that's intense. He said that COVID could literally be gone, essentially, by December. Did you hear him make those comments?
I did.
Okay, so could you comment on that, please?
Yeah, I can't necessarily say it's going to be gone. I think it's interesting to make comments like that, and maybe in the terms of it's not going to be the same as it was. But I don't think you can necessarily say that it's going to be gone. I could tell you just from an infectious disease standpoint and a virologist standpoint, I mean, this virus is sort of here to stay. The comments along the lines of it's going to be, maybe at that point we can not call it a pandemic. Maybe we can change the terminology. But, as far as we're concerned, this virus is still going to be around for a while because, I mean, it's still infecting people who, are unvaccinated and vaccinated throughout the world.
Well, and I mean, it's safe to say at this point that COVID is sort of similar to like a flu. I mean, it's
correct.
Not like the flu will go away, right? That's what
right.
you're kind of saying?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, obviously, we know it's different than the flu. We know that it doesn't quite have the seasonality. That may change. But yes, you're correct. For those who've actually got the vaccine, if they get infected with COVID-19, they're getting more of a flu-like illness with variabilities. Some people are getting mild illness. Some people are getting sick for about a week. But most people are recovering well, and they're not dealing with that sort of secondary thing that we had, that sort of virologic infection, and then that second phase, which was that immunologic phase where they got really sick, had to be put on the ventilator, couldn't breathe, and then that's what was killing people.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about Delta, Dr. Brown? We haven't talked mm-hmm. about Delta in a while. Is that has that phased out, or are we still finding Delta to be a big problem?
It's actually interesting that you bring that up. So just like the other strains that we've seen, we've had the Chinese strain, we've had the Italian strain, we've had the South American strain, and then we had if you remember, the UK,
mm-hmm.
The UK strain,
right?
And now the Delta. So the Delta virus, the Delta strain, it's still the coronavirus, it's still COVID-19, is now the predominant strain in the U.S. So the reason why you haven't heard about it is because it's not new.
Gotcha.
It is now the predominant strain. So if you get infected with COVID-19, the strain that you're most likely getting infected with is the Delta strain.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the reason I ask that, Dr. Brown, is because remember we were kind of in the end of the summer. There were, again, talks nationally. And I want to make it very clear, Dr. Brown is a local infectious disease expert here. He is here at Griffin Hospital. So for anyone who may just be tuning in for the first time and just hearing from Dr. Brown, he does not work on the national level. So I just want to make sure it's very clear. These are not comments he has made. I just like to ask his perspective on it. But Dr. Brown, in the late summer months, I remember it might have been the FDA. I can't even remember, honestly. I can't even keep track of everybody who says things. It could have been the CDC. But there were these talks that basically the Delta variant was going to burn out, essentially. Remember that? It was like, hey, by mm-hmm. September, October, it's going to burn out. But it sounds like it didn't burn out.
Yeah, it's actually funny. The terminology is so interesting in the fact that it burned out. Viruses, they're like rock stars. They either burn out or they fade away.
Mm.
They're more likely to fade away.
Gotcha.
So what happens is that instead of being this unique strain that's sort of hitting random areas throughout the country and causing different types or variations of this infection, it actually starts to phase in or fade away into what COVID-19 looks like. So mm-hmm. it's actually become the new norm is now the Delta virus. But usually what happens is when there's a new strain, the strain has certain characteristics that make it different. Sometimes it's more virulent, so more people can get infected, like the Delta virus was. Sometimes it's more deadly. That's unusual, but can happen.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the but ultimately it there's a statistical term that we call it. It regresses to the mean. What it basically means is it hits an equilibrium. It goes down to a normal. And that's sort of what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't really say that it's gone, but you can say it's not. It's because we're sort of seasoned to it and used to it now. It's not as bad as it was.
Dr. Brown is here this morning taking our COVID questions. I wanted to talk a little bit about the Merck pill. I'm calling it the Merck pill because I can't pronounce the actual name. But this is, again, I just want to reiterate. We talked about this last week with Dr. Brown, so I'm not going to dive into it again. If you want to hear it, go to our podcast from last week. The Merck pill is essentially a tool, just like the vaccine is. It's not going to cure you from COVID. It's not going to prevent you from getting COVID. However, it will help. You know, and it is something that you probably should take with the vaccine. It's not like that can be in replacement of it. And we talked in length about that with Dr. Brown last week. But here's my question, Dr. Brown, about the Merck pill. I was hearing, and I don't know if this is right or not, so this is where you can weigh in. I was hearing that if you were to rely on this pill to fight COVID, that you'd have to also take other medications on top of it, like a blood pressure medication. I don't know if that's true or not, but I didn't know if you could comment on it. And of course, this isn't available here in the U.S. yet, but when it does become available, have you heard anything about that, that you'd have to take other medications in order for this to be effective?
Unfortunately, I would not be able to comment on that.
Okay.
I mean, I could tell you that the medication itself would fight off the virus. Would actually, you know, eliminate the virus from replicating and kill the virus. The addition of any other medication would be to combat potential side effects. Would be my guess. And again, that's just, you know, as you like to help clarify when I give my opinion, you know, that would be a guess. It is very unusual to have any type of antibiotic, antimicrobial to be associated with another medication to make it effective.
Okay.
That would be unusual. So I would sort of question that a little bit. But we don't know. We won't know until it actually sort of gets out and comes out. And then, you know, do you have to watch for certain things? Do you have to watch for elevated blood pressure? Do you have to watch for headaches? Do you have to watch for other potential things that are there and be ready to treat that symptomatically?
Okay. So basically, we just don't know at this point. We can't really confirm nor deny. Okay.
That's exactly right. And yes, it is being used in the UK, which is great because then we can figure out from them.
Okay. No, I mean, I appreciate your honesty, Dr. Brown. And that's why I make it very clear on this show that Dr. Brown is our infectious disease expert out of Griffin Hospital. But again, as you just mentioned, that's a pill that's not even being used here in the U.S. So these are findings that we are watching very closely. But, you know, I like to debunk rumors. I don't want to say,
yeah, absolutely,
you know, because that's something that was swirling immediately, like, oh, if you take the Merck pill, you're going to need X, Y, and Z as well. And of course,
yeah,
people start to panic. So I like to just get out in front of that. Okay,
absolutely. And there's a Pfizer pill that's going to be coming also.
Yes, I heard about that as well. Now, is that very similar to the Merck pill, essentially?
It sounds like it is.
Okay.
So it's another antiviral, and it appears to be very effective. So that's great. Having two is great because the supply becomes a major issue. There's going to be quite a bit of demand for it, and then without having the proper supply, it could be a real issue. So having two majors develop an oral treatment is great. It's really good. As I said, those are game changers. Absolutely.
Okay. Pfizer's just a powerhouse.
They really are.
They're just a powerhouse. It's crazy.
They are.
It's so
and if
crazy.
They don't have the pill, they just buy the company that does. It's
yeah,
great.
Exactly. Yeah, it's crazy. We got a couple more questions for you, Dr. Brown. This one I just thought was a very specific one, but it absolutely could relate to other people. We had a question regarding what your thoughts are on taking Tylenol after the booster vaccine.
Mm.
You know, this person wondering if it's best to just let your body deal with the pain, the aftermath, the symptoms. But others say, you know, take Tylenol if you're not feeling good. What are your thoughts on that?
that's actually really interesting because that has come up in the past.
Mm-hmm.
People were concerned that if you inhibit your immune system by taking Tylenol, then you're not going to get as much of a response. That has actually been debunked.
Okay.
There's enough data out there that really say, and honestly, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Taking Tylenol and even Advil, they actually work in different mechanisms of action, and they don't make you immunocompromised. So you're still going to get the same response. So it's deemed to be safe to take Tylenol and ibuprofen. You do not need to suffer through it. Your immune system's still going to fight off, even if you're decreasing some of that inflammatory response. That pain that's occurring.
Okay, so there you go. You can take Tylenol if you need to take it. That's perfectly fine. And then this is a challenging one because obviously you and I have talked about COVID from the very start. And you've been, like it says in the beginning, the very voice of reason for many people here on this show. They rely on what you have to say. And I'm not sure if you can comment on this, but it's a good question. Somebody asked, she took her 9-year-old to go get the shot. And mm-hmm. the pediatrician said they didn't feel comfortable with that age bracket getting the shot. They felt it was unsafe. So, of course, this person, and I'm sure many other people feel like they're caught in the middle where maybe their pediatricians are not pushing it. You and I talked about that. My son's pediatrician said, you know, when the time comes, she's not really pushing it one way or the other. What would you say, like, what do you get a second opinion? What would you recommend for the parents who are kind of like caught in the middle?
Yeah, I think this has definitely been a year of bringing to light the variability that we see in, you know, regulatory agencies like the CDC and the FDA, and unfortunately what we see in variability amongst clinicians. We do, because we are manage the one as opposed to manage the all. A lot of times when you see your doctor, I mean, they're focused on sort of their patients, mm-hmm. they're the individual person that's in front of them as opposed to sort of the bigger picture, which is, again, I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying but that does lead to certain variability. In that case, there may be other reasons why that recommendation was made that way. I can't comment on sort of, without knowing the patient themselves. I can tell you from a general standpoint and as a, you know, as an epidemiologist, you know, as someone sort of his job is to look at the big picture, the answer is that there's two things that are occurring. You know, one is that as adults get vaccinated, that we're seeing, less severe infections in adults. We're seeing potentially less infections. We still are seeing some infections. But what we are seeing is we're definitely seeing that more kids are getting infected. So from a large picture, epidemiologic picture, it's better for children to get vaccinated for the society in whole. So if all the children get vaccinated, this virus doesn't have anywhere to hide, and therefore we can get rid of it. Again, mm-hmm. it's not going to be eliminated as far as I'm aware, mm-hmm. but it'll definitely get rid of it. The other piece that people don't realize, so that's the societal issue. The bigger piece or a bigger personal piece is that we are definitely seeing the infection infect children. And if you remember from, March of 20 to now, mm-hmm. there was almost zero children that were getting infected.
Right.
Now, children are getting infected.
Right.
They're definitely getting infected. And younger children are actually getting infected also. This would be a natural progression of the virus. It's going to those who have not been vaccinated or do not have any immunity. Mm-hmm. So they're going to start going to children. The question is that as new strains come out, because they are in children, are they going to be more virulent or are they going to affect children more or make them sicker? That would be my concern. So, I don't have children, but if I did have children, my children would be vaccinated because I would be concerned, because I understand sort of virology, I would be concerned that they would get, they're the next in line. They're the dry timber of the fire. Mm-hmm. They're next. Mm-hmm. So if you vaccinate them, then that's not the case. So that would be sort of the big picture.
Interesting. Well, Dr. Brown, we always appreciate you weighing in on these conversations and also taking our questions each and every week. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Melissa.
All right. We'll talk again next week.